I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. You could argue that there is no bigger global problem than global warming. It's a problem in slow motion, though, and that means getting some people to take it seriously right now is challenging. But I bet folks in the Persian Gulf region are paying attention today. That's because of a new study out this week in the journal Nature Climate Change. We're going to spend the next few minutes on this. This new study says that by the end of this century, temperatures in the Persian Gulf will exceed a threshold for human adaptability during summer months. Let's start by hearing from co-author El-Fati El-Tahir. He teaches civil and environmental engineering at MIT.
In this case, we are looking at heat waves and severe heat waves in that region. And the variable we use to describe them is called wet bulb temperature. Wet bulb temperature measures temperature and humidity at the same time. And we are projecting that by the end of this century, under the business as usual scenario of emissions of greenhouse gases, that the wet bulb temperature would approach a threshold of 35 degrees centigrade, 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
But you're talking heat and humidity. You're talking what we call the feels-like temperature, right?
Exactly. So when the wet bulb temperature approaches 35, it gets to a point where the ability of a human body to adapt to the warm conditions becomes very limited.
So this extreme wet bulb temperature, are we talking just a few outlier years, say 70 to 100 years down the road, or are you talking pretty much every summer is going to be like this?
The warmest time of the year in that region is the time of July, August, September, during that intense heat season, the summer season there. We expect that depending on location, in some places once every decade, in some places several times a decade, and so on. So it's not like this is the normal heat level all the time, but this would be severe heat wave that will be experienced in that part of the world.
How soon could this be?
Earlier studies projected that such events may occur maybe 200, 300 years from now. Our research points to sooner, toward the end of this century.
Right. We're not just talking attitudes and behaviors in the Persian Gulf region. We're talking all over the world. So do you think moderate mitigation will be enough? And how well is the planet behaving right now to reach that?
Yeah, I think this is an important point. Is the problem is not a regional. In terms of the impacts we looked at one region of the world. It may be a hot spot for climate change, literally hot spot. However, the drivers for that change are global in nature. And so when we talk about mitigation, it's mitigation at the global scale. Future trajectories in China and India and Europe and the United States. So action taken by these countries to limit the emissions of greenhouse gases is what we mean when we talk about mitigation.
What is this actually going to mean for life in this region? I mean, can you imagine seeing a lot of people fleeing, not because of war or strife, but because of heat?
I don't imagine that scenario, but you know, the region is, you know, for wealthy people in places like UAE and Qatar and Saudi Arabia.
People who can afford air conditioning, right?
Exactly. Then there will be air conditioning and people are going to be able to adapt. However, we were able in the paper to pinpoint locations, for example, in Yemen along the Red Sea, where people are not as rich, basically, as in other parts of the region. And those who expect them to suffer, they will not have the capacity to handle this kind of heat waves.
So when the climate change summit happens in December in Paris, what needs to be the marching order so we avoid this, what seems to be a catastrophe?
I think from my point of view, serious global mitigation efforts are no longer optional. I think of them as necessary conditions, necessary step that has to be taken in order to avoid consequences like this. And so many times in the debates about climate change, people are consider mitigation as an optional step that they may take or may not be able to afford. The severity of the kind of projections that we just published for Southeast Asia, I think, point to the direction that serious level of mitigation has to be taken.
Study co-author El-Fati El-Tahir of MIT, just down the road from us in Cambridge. In a moment, we'll hear reaction from someone who lives in Dubai. That's one of the places where the summer heat and humidity could become deadly just a few decades from now, the equivalent of 165 degrees on the National Weather Service's heat index, according to the study. Well, it turns out that while Rome or the Persian Gulf may burn, in Dubai, they'll be chilling out on the slopes. At least that's the proposal. Dubai's ruler announced recently a construction project to build the world's largest indoor ski slope. Not quite a mile-long run, and yes, it would all have to be air-conditioned, like down to freezing. Here's what my BBC Persian colleague Nicholas Niksadat makes of that.
That's a big part of the mentality you find in the region. But still, in the Persian Gulf, you have two contrasting worlds. To the south, you have these usually small Arab states with a lot of oil wealth and small populations, so they can afford to get away with the heating problem, as they have managed to get away with the domestic unrest problem through, subsidizing, using a lot of money, creating possibilities such as the indoor ski facilities or getting the World Cup, the very controversial World Cup that we know has been awarded to Qatar for 2022. However, on the other side of the Persian Gulf, you have Iran, and those provinces of Iran, which are on the coastline of the Persian Gulf to the north, tend to be the poorer areas. So they are already having a hard time with this climatic conditions.
So, I mean, it's already sweltering in the region. On the average day, don't most middle-class residents just move from one air-conditioned setting to another?
Yeah, again, we have two different realities. To the south of the Persian Gulf, that might be the reality because the majority of the people are very wealthy, and most of the workers, the so-called working class, is imported from South Asia countries such as India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. Whereas in Iran, you have a relatively small middle class who can afford having air conditioning, air conditioned cars and so on. But you also have large pockets of population who don't benefit from these things.
It occurs to me, too, that the health impacts of stifling heat are affecting the working class people. I think of the massive construction projects and the workers in Dubai, again, and Abu Dhabi.
Yes, all of us have heard the news of the workers dying, building, for example, the venues for the World Cup. It's a big issue. In Iran, again, we have had the question of dust particles because of the massive desertification in the whole region. The winds take the dust all over the place, and we've had a lot of people, suffering from respiratory problems in Iran.
The oil money in this part of the world makes for so many paradoxes. I wonder about the Hajj in Mecca, for example. I mean, oil money built so much of modern Mecca, but that same oil could make a summer Hajj deadly, it sounds, at least when Ramadan falls during the summer.
Saudis have invested a lot of money in trying to make it as manageable as possible. Of course, we don't have anything of this scale, any pilgrimage or any social event of this scale on the planet to judge Saudis. But of course, this year, again, we had a disastrous Hajj. And as a result, you can only wonder how this thing will look in a few years' time if the temperatures are to rise even further.
My mind's still on the ski slope in Dubai. I mean, it surely makes it feel like the elites are just saying, let the rest eat cake. What does it look like looking out from the Mideast at the rest of the globe? I mean, how different do you really think that attitude is for the elites of the world?
In the Middle East, maybe it has just started to come home, the idea that, desertification, climate change can lead to tension. So maybe at the end of the day, the hope is that these ruling elites, if not for the sake of the planet, maybe for the sake of their own survival on top of the society and staying in power, they will try to control and manage the problem somehow.
Nicholas Niksadat of the BBC's Persian service there. Now let's hear from Razan Alzayani. She's a photojournalist based in Dubai. She grew up in the United Arab Emirates. The study's findings about the heat and humidity getting more and more dangerous in places like Dubai come as no surprise to her.
I was just driving home and the temperature, my car said the temperature was about 33 degrees Celsius. So
91 Fahrenheit, 91.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of October and it feels like the summer is extending much longer than it should be by this time of year. So we're all kind of waiting for the weather to cool off a bit and just kind of waiting for that relief because we haven't really felt it so far this year.
Yeah, 91 degrees Fahrenheit in October. So how'd you react when you read about this study this morning?
I actually felt quite sad, to
Why
be
sad?
Honest. The timeline they're talking about is, as far as I remember, the end of the century. And we're talking about our grandchildren. And the fact that this world that we're creating is so uninhabitable for them, it just means that we're causing destruction at a pretty rapid rate. And that made me kind of sad, because if we are environmental refugees, or if our children or grandchildren will be environmental refugees, then I feel like it completely kind of disrupts the identity of the region, and or at least the Persian Gulf. And so, I mean, if no one can really live here, it just kind of changes everything. It's quite sad, but also maybe it's the shock that people need to realize that this is a very tangible thing.
Are you worried that maybe there won't be enough shock, that people will only be shocked when they step outside and they realize after 30 minutes it's just unbelievably hot and they can't stand it anymore, that it might make them sick?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's not as much awareness here as you would get in places kind of elsewhere around the world where they're very environmentally conscious. It's quite hard to recycle, for example, which is one of the basic, I don't know, environmentally friendly things to do. I mean, I would have to get into my car and drive somewhere to dump my recycling if I wanted to. I mean, it's the very basics aren't quite there. And I feel like that's kind of what's needed is this awareness.
You grew up in the United Arab Emirates, and earlier you suggested the heat seems to last longer, especially recent years, past the end of the summer. Have you felt changes in the weather and the environment since you were a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I mean, I feel that there are more dust storms and sand storms. That's one. And I don't know why. It could be excessive construction. It could be, I mean, just stuff that's coming in from Saudi or from Iraq. But we do get frequent sandstorms, more so than I ever remember as a child. The summer has, I feel, dragged. And the winters aren't as cool. That's just my personal opinion. I could be wrong. I don't know if data says otherwise, but that's kind of my observation.
Right. That's also your anecdotal evidence. Yeah.
Yeah. And also in terms of marine life, I mean, I've spent my childhood in the water and on boats in the Persian Gulf. And we used to see all kinds of things like dolphins and turtles and lots of wildlife. And now when I go out on a boat, I don't see that anymore. I don't see as many birds. I haven't seen dolphins in years. And so that just, I don't know, for me, it's very tangible. It's very, very tangible.
Razan Alzayani, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.